In this episode, we're talking with Michael Ferrier from ION Property Inspections. We're going to discuss how you can tell if a strata report is any good and whether you should rely on one that's provided by the vendor's agent. We'll find out what should be included in a report, how to uncover what's missing, and the red flags that you should be on the lookout for when buying an apartment, a townhouse, or a villa unit.
Welcome to The Elephant in the Room. This is the podcast where we love to talk about the big things in property that never usually get talked about. I'm Veronica Morgan, real estate agent, buyer's agent, and buyer's agent mentor, co-host of Foxtel's Location, Location, Location Australia, author of Auction Ready, and co-host of Your First Home Buyer Guide.
And I'm Chris Bates, mortgage broker, recently ranked number 5 in Australia out of over 18,000 brokers in the annual MPA Top 100 Mortgage Broker Awards. Before we get started, I need to let you know that nothing we say here can be taken as personal advice. We always recommend you engage the services of an appropriate and experienced professional.
Our guest today is Michael Ferrier, and he is the founder and MD of ION Property Inspections. Michael founded ION 15 years ago because he saw the opportunity to turn a cottage industry into a professional level service, offering high quality strata reports and building and pest inspections to property buyers and sellers, backed up by customer support. And that's something we will be talking about here. He believes that buyers should be able to get the information explained to them once they have a pre-purchase inspection in their hands, and it should not matter if it's a vendor's report or not. And he says that buyers need to push back against inspectors and selling agents who think that once you've got the report, it's up to you to figure it out. So today we've called on Michael to explain strata reports to us and take us through what should be in a report and how to fill in the gaps when information is missing. Thanks so much for coming along, Michael. It's been a few years since we've had you on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while, that's for sure. Nice to see you guys.
Michael, it's you've sort of brought to our attention this, we aren't going to go here with the conversation today, but there's been a lot coming out around the strata world today. I'm sure people have been a bit surprised. ABC's done quite a few articles on, strata companies potentially overcharging, getting kickbacks, etc.
Yeah.
I'm just reading some articles now, but what's your take on what's happening, and have you been aware of these sort of issues for some time?
Yeah, well, I think some of these issues have been in the media a bit recently, specifically insurance commissions, commissions that strata managers get from insurance brokers, insurance companies for their role in renewing strata insurances. And it's a controversial topic. You know, why should they get these fees? Shouldn't it be part of their job and so on? And it now appears that in some cases, strata managers are taking other types of kickbacks from perhaps service providers, tradies and the like. And perhaps in some cases charging looks like up to 60% commission on insurance premiums, which you guys might realize is usually the biggest single expense that a strata building will have. And insurance premiums have been increasing a lot in recent years as well. And of course, presumably that means commissions have been increasing as well. So the issue is becoming bigger and bigger. So it has been topical. Some of the stuff that's sort of been uncovered in this ABC investigation today does make it look quite bad for strata managers. I would just like to say that I mean, strata just couldn't function without strata managers, and their role is really important in strata, but I think it's often undervalued. But sadly, I think the reason it's undervalued is partly the fault of strata managers in that they keep undercutting each other in trying to win business. What that sort of means is that their fees haven't been going up. So I guess they then, over time, and this is just my thoughts, they have to say, well, how are we going to make this business work? And one way to do that is to look for other ways to make money. But if they're not disclosing that stuff to the owners, and it's a bit underhanded, for want of a better word, then, you know, it doesn't look good for the industry, and it certainly doesn't promote the trust of owners.
It also makes it very difficult when you're looking at buying into a strata building to be confident that the you're getting all the information you need in order to make a wise decision.
Yes.
And let's unpick a bit of this, right? So I want to get into the whole strata report process, how they get written, you know, who they're written by, what should be in them, all that sort of stuff. But before we get into that, I think you hit on a very interesting point. I read somewhere that or maybe I heard it somewhere, that strata managers' fees apparently haven't gone up in something like 15 years in real terms.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Veronica, because I listened to another podcast, to plug another one, but it's very topical. It's Look Up Strata. Nikki from Look Up Strata did a podcast with two strata managers, which I just watched earlier this week, and they were saying exactly that, that their fees haven't really gone up in 15 years. They're very frustrated with the industry practice of undercutting.
And obviously the complexity of buildings and the regulatory environment and all the rest of it, that hasn't got any easier, and obviously defects, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So their job hasn't got any easier. Then you've got things like insurance premiums rising, and that's another issue. We'll talk about that too in terms of red flags that buyers should be looking for. So, of course, they're going to look elsewhere. But I remember Dr. Nicole Johnson did a report. Now, I read it a long time ago, but it just as you were talking, it sort of came back up in my memory.
Yeah.
And it was on actually the insurance, commissions paid in the strata space. And there was a whole bit of research that she did on that. Now, from memory, it was interesting because basically owners apparently, those surveyed from memory, they were in favour of strata managers taking a commission if it meant that they could keep the strata management fee down. And it swings and roundabouts. So really, at the end of the day, the owners are paying in one way or another, but they sort of felt better about them taking a commission than, charging an upfront higher fee to do business. So it's just a perception thing, but it is interesting how people perceive, whether or not the wrong thing has been done and whether or not they like transparency. It was just a rather interesting some conclusions that came out of that report.
Yeah, I do remember the report, and I have talked with Nicole as well. Yes, it's interesting. I mean, they're paying the same amount at the end of the day. I mean, if your strata management fee is $3,000 for a small building or something, and the commission they're getting on the insurance is $3,000, well, then you're really paying $6,000 effectively, because you're paying $3,000 more on your insurance bill.
Yeah.
And your share of it, you've still got to meet the costs of running the building in total.
Exactly.
The owners.
But I think the thing that you also mentioned is, and I haven't read this article or any of these stories of the ABC, and today we are recording this at the end of March. We'll go live with this probably early April. So, Michael, we expect commissions to be disclosed, but are we saying that they haven't been? Are there instances where this stuff is not disclosed, and so therefore it's never going to make its way into a strata report, is it?
No, that's right. And there were suggestions, I think, today that some of these arrangements, carry on to service providers, trades and so on, that some strata managers may be taking a commission from works done for owners or recommending particular people without owners being aware they're getting something out of it. And that's sort of, not good. I mean, I'm on a strata committee for a building, and at the moment, we're looking at a roof quote that's $14,000. Now, I think our strata fees, it's only a very small building, are about $3,000 a year, but if they were going to get 20% on $14,000, well, that's doubling their fee on one invoice. Now, if that sort of stuff is going on and not being disclosed, it's not good, right?
And it's more, do you think, Michael, it's more likely to be in those bigger buildings where people are less likely to be on the strata committee? And it can be a huge problem, right? Because, strata is becoming really driven by owner-occupier market rather than, say, the investor market. And, interest rates have gone up a lot, and their mortgages have gone up, and then the insurance. So I guess, is this sort of the veil being lifted? And do you think this is where people who do own strata should maybe do a bit of digging and just make sure that put their eye on it, a little bit more of a focus on it rather than before, just to, she'll be right, mate.
I certainly won't be surprised if a lot more owners are asking strata managers to confirm that they're not, there are no commercial arrangements between them and providers, and they're not getting anything from those people for the work that they do. I think that'd be very reasonable. I know in the same building that I had I tried to push back on the strata managers about insurance commission because they didn't disclose it. They didn't disclose the fact that they had a separate company arranging insurance and stuff like that. It just didn't sit right with me. And That issue came up as well in this article today about separate businesses or separate companies set up to provide these services. And therefore, and in this particular case, this particular strata manager, you know, up to 60% commission. So,
wow. My God. Oh, this is very, very interesting.
And then just crossing over onto the what we do, which is searching strata records, we've been discussing with New South Wales government and with Strata Communities Australia, which is the peak body for strata managers, about the fact that a number of strata managers are now trying to charge, look, up to three times the statutory fee for us to search the records. Now, it's fair to say that those fees haven't gone up for a while, like 10 years or so, but, you know, three times the fee is, you know, means that reports will become more expensive for people, and I don't think that's what you want. You want to make sure that this stuff is attainable to people if they're looking to buy apartments. The other thing to say that's really important, I think, is that these records belong to the owners. They don't belong to the strata managers. The owners are already paying strata managers for doing their job, and one of those core jobs is maintaining the records for the building. And, you know, I don't think that they should be looking at it as a money-making venture. They'll argue that they're just covering costs. And there has been a real move in strata searches to online searches. And this was kicked off by COVID, but it's now almost all searches are done remotely. And strata managers are arguing that that's introduced a lot of costs. But I think a lot of those costs is really about them digitising their businesses and their business costs that they would have incurred anyway. Yeah, so look, anyway, that's an ongoing discussion. But it may be just another example of strata managers looking at any way they can earn a few extra bucks. And if that's the case, it's disappointing. Yeah.
Look, on one hand, I get it. From a commercial point of view, I totally get it. I mean, if you are in an industry where there's a lot of pressure on fees, people being undercut, you got to look at ways to recoup and actually cover your costs. Otherwise, you're going to go out of business, right? So I sort of get it from a commercial side of things. But on the flip side, you know, I'm astounded at the poor record keeping that I keep hearing about in some strata companies. I'm astounded that they haven't leapt at the opportunity to go digital, because I would have think that that just makes communication with the owners so much easier. You got a portal that owners can put things in, and they, you know, they can access things. That would reduce the demand on the strata manager to have to provide information as needed. You know, you could train your owners to use that stuff. And then obviously from somebody wanting to book a strata report, you know, they shouldn't even need to book a time. You should be able to just get it there anytime and pay a nominal fee. So that's the other side of it. The commercial side of it says, well, embrace the efficiencies and look at ways to make your business more efficient. That's actually going to make you more profitable.
Yeah.
So what's the statutory, like in New South Wales, and look, there's a similar sort of process, you know, across the board, but the legislation does change from state to state and territory.
It does.
You operate largely in New South Wales and WA, right?
Yes, we do, yeah.
So what is a strata manager allowed to charge an inspector to look at the records?
So the statutory fee in New South Wales is $31 plus GST. So it's very reasonable. And that's supposed to be for the first hour of your inspection of records. And then it's a pro rata fee for, you know, $17 or $16.50. Is that what it is? $15.50 plus GST for every half hour after that. Compare that to WA, where they're charging $150 to access the records.
So what does strata report cost on average in WA versus in New South Wales?
In WA, it's costing $550. In New South Wales, it's, you know, $330.
Right.
And it's a big difference. And it's a huge difference. And it makes it more difficult for people to, you know, commit to those
things. To their pre-purchase inspections. Who writes the strata report? I mean, do they need to be qualified?
No. Anybody can be trained to do it. I mean, this is part of the issue with strata managers, if you like, is that it's not really a profession. And so barriers to entry are not great for strata managers. Quite a lot of the people who do strata inspections have worked to strata managers, and so they do understand strata, which is really important. But you know, they don't need to have specific qualifications. So there are people who understand, you know, how to find the records and understand how to extract the data. And that's really what the process is. It's a matter of finding the data in the records, those documents that are important, and then extracting the right bits from those documents.
We're seeing a real urgency back in the market. I know that there's, you know, a lot of people are thinking the market's slowing down, et cetera. I would say that there's still enough buyers, and buyers are absolutely ready to transact. And while days on market's been going up and things like that, there is a bit of a, particularly for first home buyers wanting to enter and get ahead of interest rate cuts, et cetera. And so when they're out there looking, they're being picky, but when something comes up, it can go real fast. And what's your sort of, if someone had to do a, you know, they found an apartment or they found something that's under strata and they needed to do their due diligence fast, right?
Yes.
This is what, as soon as the market gets hot, this is what's happened. And what would be your way of attacking this and making sure that you do it justice rather than, you know, knowing that you've done okay, but you've missed a few, you know, parts?
You need to get somebody who understands the records to do it. I wouldn't recommend people try to do it themselves because it's just too hard. People will be totally flummoxed, overwhelmed by the data. So you need to get somebody to do it. And that's where timing is important, because turnaround times, you know, in a best case scenario are probably no less than 2 or 3 days. Now, I know a lot of people are trying to make quick decisions, and so 2 or 3 days might be really pushing it. And then it depends on when you can get a time with the strata manager to get the records. It also then depends a bit about what the records are like and whether or not there's a lot of stuff going on in the building. So I do think you need a experienced person to do the records for you.
All right. So once people get a strata report, once most buyers get a strata report, what do they typically do with it?
That's a really good question. So often they'll ask their conveyancer to have a look at it. They're probably the person that's they're seeking advice from in the process of looking at a property. And the conveyancers might be able to provide really good feedback, but a lot of conveyancers don't necessarily understand strata that well either. I mean, their job is really to do the legal bit of, you know, making sure that the title is transferred properly and that, you know, ownership moves across, etc. It's not necessarily that they are automatically a strata expert. So the person who's prepared the report is the one that really should help you understand what's in it. And strata inspectors should be available to provide that support. A lot of buyers don't understand strata, and so they actually need to be guided through the report. What does it mean? What do levies mean? What's a capital works fund? You know, all of these things are important. And they often just really don't have a clue when they start. So,
but herein lies a problem. Like you've already said that in New South Wales, you can basically most strata reports cost you $330. $30 of that goes to GST. Another $31 goes to the strata management company. So you're left there with $270. They've had to go there, maybe spend an hour looking at the records. They've had to put the report together. Mm. And then if the person who buys a report wants to talk to them about it, they're going to spend a bit more time explaining it.
Yep.
Like, is that profitable?
Well, it can be. You know, if it's done properly, it can be profitable. But, you know, a lot of people are now seeing reports because they're available on the sell side of the transaction. So the vendor has arranged for a report to be done, and they can download that report for a much lower cost than $330. It might only be
$29 or $49 or $59.
And for that $59, they can also get customer support. But if a number of people pay that $59 and the person selling the property is paying something, and then the person who does eventually buy the property pays a top up, then it becomes possible to provide good customer service and provide a quality service.
Right.
And that's a model that has grown, particularly in New South Wales, because of the auction market.
Yeah. So in that process, there's a vendor-organized strata report.
Yes.
A lot of people would look at that and go, oh, but that's put together by the vendor. Why would I rely on that?
Okay. Yeah, they might say that.
And that's the attitude we have around vendor-paid building and pest inspection reports, for argument's sake. Yeah. So in the strata sense, I'm less concerned about it in the strata sense, but are you less concerned?
I'm less concerned, and I'll tell you why. So the thing with the building and pest report is it's a subjective report. So it's what the person who went to the property sees, and then their interpretation of whether that what's a major defect or a safety issue at the property. Okay, now that can vary between individual inspectors, and I would say that over time, real estate agents do push back more on building and pest reports than strata reports, a lot more. And the reason for that is that building and pest reports are essentially defect reports. So they're not going to say anything particularly good about the property, you know, unless it's a really good property. And they might say it's well above average for properties of that type. But with a strata report, it's really just presenting facts. So it's presenting a summary of the information that's in the record. So there's really not much subjectivity to this at all. And so it is a different animal. And so I think people should be more comfortable with vendor strata reports because of that reason. If you're reading a report, you should be able to confirm every bit of information that's in the report from the documents that are attached to that report, right?
Right.
And people who are reading a report who can't understand that need to get some help. And
And so for anyone who's never read a strata report or looked at one, or maybe got one done but never actually wanted to delve into it, the first number of pages is that summary of all the information they found. And there are basically, they should have the minutes of meetings attached, the financials, documentations around various reports that they may have commissioned or for whatever reason have. And all of that sort of forms, that's why some reports can be like 300 pages long. There's 280 pages are basically photocopies or scans of documents.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
The rest is the actually bodily report and all the disclaimers. So I guess what you're saying is that information as it's presented, assuming all strata inspectors are equal and are able to pull out the relevant documents, it's not like anyone's going to go in there and the agents are going to go, oh, look, just can you not notice that one? Can you not notice those documents?
Exactly.
And the main reason why I tell you that agents are not going to do that, it's not so much because it's subjective or objective, but more the fact that most agents haven't got the faintest clue what to expect in the strata report.
Most of them won't
even read it.
No, that's true. They won't. And so I think they're less concerned about what's in a strata report. Now, obviously, there's plenty of buildings that have got a lot of issues going on.
Mm.
And the strata report should identify those issues. And certainly, look, but that's, you know, you can't hide that stuff. I mean, if there's been a half a dozen special levies in the last 5 years because they've got waterproofing issues and they've got roof leaks or they've had cladding issues and all these things, then that's going to be there. It's in the records. You can't really get away from that.
There's also, there's clues in inspecting the building. You know, when we look at a building, we do look around at various things like just the general presentation of it, the condition. You know, in the garages, you can look at, you know, you can see leaks. There's all sorts of things that you can see cracks. I mean, you can see when you know, cladding is popping off walls, or if it is clad even, you think, okay, well, is that flammable cladding? I mean, and because we look at properties day in, day out and have done for many, many, many years, and therefore we have that experience. And I think any buyer looking at buying into a strata building needs to use their own eyes and ears and have a good look around too, and then be looking at the strata report to see, well, what else can I find out about these things? I mean, we look at things like window locks and balustrades. There's real dead giveaways as to whether they care enough to try to comply with legislation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm amazed at how many buildings I still walk into. They got windows that open The bottom of them is less than a metre off the ground, and they don't have any window locks on there. So it's just wide open and people can fall out. I'm astounded that I still can go in buildings and find that.
Yep.
And balustrades that people can fall over because they're low and there's been no attempt to try to bring it up to code. They're warning signs in my view. What sort of, you know, if you can't work those things out for yourself, I mean, what sort of red flags are there in the report that might indicate to a buyer that this building is not on top of things?
Well, there's a few. Let me firstly say that just in case people don't realise, a strata inspector doesn't go to the property. So they only either go where the records are kept or are given remote access to the records for the building. They will not have been there. And one of the things that we'll often say to people when we're talking to them about a strata report, and perhaps a strata report that's got some of the red flags I'll mention now, is that what did the building look like when you went there? And they'll often say, oh, it looks a bit tired. And that then say, well, this is the reason. They've got no money. They keep deferring or defeating repairs and rectifications to issues that are going on. Indications they don't want the levies to go up. All of these things. Some people think that low levies are good, but low levies are not good. They might be good in the short term, but ultimately somebody's got to pay for the maintenance of the building. So those sorts of things we'll see in the records, and they are flags that indicate, is this building starting to degrade over time? And ultimately, that's going to affect its value, if it continues to go downhill.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've seen over the years many buildings that get a stink about them because, you know, the stuff that's been avoided, you know, gets to a point where it can no longer be avoided. And then they've got to raise these big special levies. And people who have lived in the building for many, many years, you know, sometimes they then sell out, you know, because they've loved having low levies and now they don't want the consequences of all those years of low levies. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, though, their buildings are complex, right? And, you know, I know that some owners corporations are very proactive in terms of getting building reports. You know, I actually like to see a lot of detail about the building and the things that are wrong with it in the strata report, because I think that's great because they're all over it. They know what their to-do list is, right?
Yes.
And they know what they're budgeting for and how they're building up the capital works fund to address. But other strata reports can be very light on detail, and somebody might look at that and think, oh, that's good. There's no problems in that building. It's like that doesn't necessarily – no news is not necessarily good news.
No. Look, and some buildings are much simpler than others too. You know, some the records in some buildings – less, and the reason for that is there's not so much going on in this building. There's no lifts. There's not really any fire safety equipment needed in a building like that. All these things mean there's less reports needed, and it's brick, so it doesn't need painting. So you don't need to save money for expensive repainting of the exterior of the building, for example. So some of those things will definitely carry across to the records. But something we haven't talked about is the quality of records generally, and it does vary wildly. And part of the reason for that is that records go astray, particularly when buildings change the strata manager. So when they move from one strata manager to another, the records need to go to the new strata manager. But most of the time, they get sent as a dump and could be thousands of files, and it's variously easy or really hard to work out what those records are. And the new strata manager needs to find the stuff that's really relevant right now, but the stuff that happened a year or two ago, you know, not so important, right? So that's difficult.
I'm on a personal mission to help more people make better property decisions. And you can find out all about what I'm working on at veronicamorgan.com.au. And there you'll find resources for first home buyers, details about my buyer's agent mentoring program, access to suburb help for investors, or if you're looking to buy your dream home or an investment property in Sydney's inner west, eastern suburbs, or lower north shore, you can connect with my team at Good Deeds Property Buyers.
If you're thinking about buying your first home, upgrading to a new one, or purchasing an investment property anywhere in Australia, we would love to carefully guide you through this journey and importantly, get the finance right. Please reach out via our website, wealthful.com.au.
Don't forget that you can download our free Fool or Forecaster report. Which experts can you trust to get it right? TheElephantInTheRoom.com.au.
Michael, do you think that, the ABC article sort of alluding to this a little bit, is this sort of the canary in the coal mine a little bit where, more and more owner-occupiers are buying into strata, there's more and more focus on it. I guess when I sort of was warning people around the risks of the plan, a decade ago, everyone was kind of oblivious to it, right? They're like, oh, well, what do you mean these building issues? What do you mean settlement risk? What do you mean that they fall? What do you mean? Like, there wasn't really that knowledge. But I'd say buyers are way more educated than they were a decade ago.
Yeah.
Do you think that, this is sort of the start where the next buyer is going to be more educated, and it's going to be a real premium for the buildings that have got amazing strata records? And it is, buyers are going to say, that's a real safe option for me because I'm going to live in this property long term. And then when you rock up on auction day, there's a bunch of buyers that have looked around and gone, hang on a sec, it's too risky to me buy at other buildings. I don't know what's going on. This one's got amazing records. It's really well documented.
Yep.
I'm really going to go hard at this one. And so there's a real value in making sure that your building's well run. Do you think we're going to get a little bit like that? That access to information is going to drive higher values.
Look, really interesting question, Chris. And I agree. I think it will make a difference over time. And one of the things that we see is buildings that have an annual report from the Strata Committee or the chairman of the Strata Committee or the treasurer that tells the owners, this is what's happened in the last year. This is what our financial position is. This is what we're planning in the next 2 to 3 years. This is what we think it'll cost. And this is, we think we're in good shape, all that sort of stuff. And you can tell this building is well run. The owners are engaged. It's a good community. And people will naturally be attracted to buildings like that. On the other hand, you've got buildings, you walk up, it looks a bit run down. And then you find, they can't get anything through the owners. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to get anything fixed. I mean, yes, if I was looking at that building, I'd be saying, well, hang on a minute. Why would I want to be involved here? So I do think that's the case. It's almost like rating strata buildings.
In a way, leads to, as you're talking there, Michael, I'm thinking that sort of goes back to what you were saying about building and pest inspections are subjective about the building. In a way, we need strata records inspectors to be subjective about the management of the building. Is there a way, obviously you need to have a rating system or whatever, but there's a level of subjectivity which would be quite useful for buyers to be able to gauge, is this a good one? Is this a moderate one? Is this better than average for other buildings?
I don't think you necessarily have to be subjective about it, because if you think, let's look at your capital works fund and the forecast that buildings are supposed to get done in New South Wales and other states as well, is that that's a third party report with somebody recommending how much money you need to contribute each year to make sure that you've got enough money to pay for the upkeep of the building as and when it's needed. And then you can see, what does the building actually do? And in some cases, I looked at a report only this morning where the amount they were levying is 20% of what's recommended.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, that building, they're going to have to raise money. And if they don't raise money, then the building is going to start to go downhill.
Yeah.
Now, that's the sort of stuff you don't need to be subjective in pointing out in a strata report that they're levying way below the recommendations and that practice is likely to lead to funding problems in the future.
Problems. That's definitely something we look at. Another thing that we look at there is that in New South Wales, it's legislated they have to get a Capital Works Fund forecast. They're meant to get it updated every 5 years.
But correct.
Quite often you see it's 9 years old, there's been no update. So
precisely. And
they're not following it.
And they're not following it.
Yeah.
For some reason, the owners think they know better than a quantity surveyor on what they need to do. But mostly it's about levies, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. But although, I mean, you can go into the detail of how the quantity surveyor, or did they get a quantity surveyor to do it, or did they buy one of those ones where you press a button on a computer program and it spits out? So there's Capital Works Fund forecasts and there's Capital Works Fund forecasts.
Correct.
Those that are put together, which is sort of basically you've got that type of building. Well, these types of buildings typically, you know, it's based on statistics versus a quantity surveyor's actually gone to the building and said, right, looking at that roof, I think that roof is going to need to be replaced in X years and it's going to cost Y dollars. You know? So it's two very different types of Capital Works Fund forecasts.
Yep, that's true. That's
How can you tell if it's which one they have? Can you?
Well, we do see some that are prepared by the Strata Committee themselves. and, you know, so obviously, you know, unless they've got a quantity surveyor on their committee or somebody qualified, you wonder about that.
So they're complying with the law, technically.
Technically. It doesn't have to be done by, you know, they just need to have a forecast. In theory, it can be prepared by the owners. But the other thing I would look at in that is how regularly they do it. So the more regularly they update the forecast, the more accurate it's going to trend towards, because you get a bit more live, real numbers in there. And so that is going to you know, help to make the forecast better every time.
Now, you talked about insurance premiums earlier and they are rising. That's quite well known. Another, Mike Mortlock, I think I mentioned him before, he's MCG Quantity Surveyors. We've had him on the show before. And one of the things that conversations with one of his team, Marty Sadler, I think his name is, was that buildings are getting valuations done and they're basing their insurance premiums on the valuation, but a valuer isn't actually trained in knowing what a replacement cost of a building is. Two very different, you know, streams of study. And so technically we should be getting quantity surveyor to work out what our insurance premium is based on rather than a valuer. So that's sort of one argument being put forward.
Mm-hmm.
But so premiums are rising, but there are issues around, I mean, there's certain risks around some buildings, because I've been hearing anecdotally that, like, you have to have insurance. The building has to be insured. However, there are some insurers that are not wanting to insure certain buildings, or there's certain caveats on the insurance cover. So there's obviously going to be some clues in that part of the Strata report as well, right? So what should we be looking for there?
So big increases in premiums. We've seen examples where premiums have increased by, you know, they've tripled in a year. And that's almost certainly going to be related to ongoing structural defect issues or some other thing, risks, fire safety risks, that the insurers are thinking this is a much bigger risk. We've also seen some examples of buildings that have really struggled to get insurance at all. Now, there aren't an infinite number of companies that do strata insurance, and so if your building has got issues, then you can run into trouble with insurance. So yes, looking at the trend with premiums will perhaps give you a hint. But obviously, premiums are going up anyway. But some buildings really stand out. Well, I saw one where the premium went up by 1,000% in 1 year.
Wow!
Yeah,
that's It's mind-boggling.
It is. Yeah.
And you know, and again, though, that then puts more pressure on the strata managers to keep their fees down, because strata levies are going up by virtue of insurance costs. So, you know, you can see this almost a perfect storm happening here in a way.
Yeah. Look, just going back to your point before about quality surveyors and whether they should be doing replacement cost estimates for insurance purposes, I think it's a broader theme here too, that owners, and this is maybe human nature, but owners always tend towards the cheapest quote. And the cheapest quote isn't always the best quote. It's not going to fit the bill all the time either. So owners have to take some responsibility here too and put a bit of pressure on strata managers to say, who's the best provider here, assuming they're not getting a kickback from that person, as we talked about earlier.
Well, but not only that, though, most owners don't know. I mean, I've got one property, a strata property, and I go to the AGM and you know, the on the agenda will be something like, oh, do we need to update the Capital Works Fund forecast? And everyone goes, do we need? What is it? I don't know. And the strata manager will often just sort of not actually give an opinion.
Yeah, well, that's and how they should be.
So what do you think? And, you know, you don't have to if you don't want to. But should we? Forget if you don't want to. Like, what is your recommendation? And I'm like, well, okay, let's check the legislation then, shall we? Can we do that? At least we know what we're complying with or not. Mm. And I've been amazed at this sort of wishy-washiness. And look, you know, I know there's some excellent strata managers out there, but I've also had personal interaction with people who don't guide their committee and don't guide the owners because the owners don't know. But as you say, the owners are trying to save money. And if someone says, well, why would we go for that one? And if the strata manager themselves can't pitch that, can't explain why, it's a bit like, you know, in my building a few years back when the pet issue was really heating up and all the owners wanted to vote, absolutely no pets. I mean, look, I hate to break this to you all, but we're going to have to face the reality that we need a proper pet bylaw. And we need, and now's the time for us to actually work out what that should be. Turn to the strata manager. Can you advise us? Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking we need to pay for a more expensive strata manager.
Yes.
But do you get my drift? So it's like you say it's a responsibility for the individuals, and I get that, and I agree with you, but we're in a situation where people are then turning to the underpaid strata manager and saying, can you give us some guidance? And, of course, our underpaid strata manager often can't.
No, that's right. And that, I think, comes back full circle, sort of comes back to where we started the conversation, is that something's got to give in that strata management space. And the work that they do for owners needs to be properly built.
Compensated, yeah.
Compensated, that's a better word, yes. And that's really, maybe, Chris, as you were saying before, out of this stuff that's in the media today, hopefully we'll see some changes in that stuff. And that the industry, I think my personal view is transparency is everything. So pay them properly, don't have these side deals, and people will finish up with better buildings because the job they do is really important.
Michael, around the traps, what are you seeing in terms of major issues? Because, you know, it's not just the new builds, right? Like, we could say that, you know, the last 20 years, but buildings are now built in the 60s are now 65 years old, right?
Yeah, they are.
Now, we're starting to see, like, what issues are you starting to see? And is the cost to fix them, you know, we had a building boom a couple of years ago. Are the cost to fix them becoming much more reasonable, right? And silly quotes getting thrown around. Like, do you think that there's been a reason why repairs haven't happened? Is because getting the trays and getting it cost efficiently wasn't possible? What issues are you seeing around the traps where, you know, strata managers having to deal with?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is I'm not qualified in, you know, any sort of trade. So it's a bit hard for me to comment specifically. But what I would say is I think there was a period when it was hard to get tradespeople. And so that may have contributed to some delays. But I think with older buildings where they need to get the facades redone or all the windows have to be replaced, all the lifts have to be upgraded, there may be, you know, end of life type building issues, you know, for some of these, then yes, then you get into the situation where do owners think about starting again? And that gets into another area where you see owners try to get agreement to actually redevelop the building, because a lot of these old buildings are not very efficiently positioned on the site.
Yeah.
And you could actually create a much bigger building or better accommodation. But sometimes it's really hard to get owners to agree. Yeah. And look, I know they've changed the rules. It used to be 90% agreement. I think it's been changed to 75% in recent years. But still, that's quite hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A building next to where I've got my apartment, it's only got 9 in the building, and they got a vote of 6. Hang on, 6 voted for it.
Yeah.
Are redeveloping, and 3 didn't.
Yeah, so they're gone. Yeah.
You know, so, and it's one of those 3, it's a red brick, 3-story walk up in Bondi Beach.
Yeah.
You know, really big block of land for the 9 small apartments that are sitting on there, like, you know, daggy, ready to go.
I heard a similar story in Bondi as well, you know, of that they could put a block there, more units on top, the developer said, look, I'll pay for the whole thing. I'll pay for your rent for 2 years while you have to live somewhere else. You'll finish up with a unit that's bigger than you've got now, and you'll have undercover parking, which you don't have. And in exchange, I want to have, you know, a couple of units at the top or whatever that he can sell for a mozza. And they couldn't get it across the line. And, you know, so that building still sits there and it's probably going downhill gradually.
Yeah, it takes a particular type of commercial-minded person to be able to wrap their head around that. Yeah. You know, and understand that someone's going to make a big gain, but they're really the ones taking all the risk. But yeah.
Have you seen that around the tracks, Veronica? Have you seen many buildings that have actually, owners have come together to knock it down to build a bigger apartment? Or is it really developer-led? A developer says, hey, you've got 6 apartments on this, you could have 20. I'll buy the land off you at 3 times or double the price of what you would sell on the open market if you all sell. Like, there's probably been a bit more of that happening, but
yeah,
owners coming together to do a build together, that, I don't know, that would really surprise me, I guess.
Yeah, it's, from my understanding, it's more led by developers approaching these buildings and all the people that own the buildings. And, you know, because the reality is it's very unusual to have enough people with enough commercial nous or enough real estate nous to sort of think, hang on a minute, this is an opportunity, and then go to all the trouble to put together all the feasibility, because they've got to bring everyone else along for the ride. And I do know somebody that has gone down that path. I'm not sure whether they've actually got to the point where they've got all their agreement in place, but they've taken the initiative to do all the feasibility because they can see the gain, the potential gain.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how easy they'll find to convince everybody else.
I guess with all the Chris Minn stuff happening in New South Wales and, you know, development zoning changes around train stations, and this is all in discussion at the moment, nothing's really been set in stone. But, you know, if that starts to get more, you know, like actually in law, and you can basically sell, you know, build an apartment with 400 metres between a train station and go up 6, 7, 8 levels, you will see this banding together that, you know, has definitely happened in the past of owners of apartments, owners of, you know, houses.
Yeah.
You know, in Bondi, for example, there's one building that's happening up on the hill there. I think it was 7 houses together, came together, and now it's a $40 million apartment block getting built.
You're more likely to see the owners of individual houses banding together than you are to see people within a block of units to bandy together. It's quite interesting how you do see those owners of houses, you know, they're getting all excited. But I guess, and I don't know why really that is, but I hear about that happening a lot more often, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But the reality is, and I was listening to Dr. Cameron Murray talking about his new book, which we're getting him on in a couple of months, to talk about that. And it's really interesting. He was talking to Pete Wargen on your other podcast, Chris, and it was about the development. Just because an area is zoned for, you know, 10 stories, 8 stories, 6 stories or whatever, that if the underlying land is valuable enough, you're more likely to see them take up the full height. But because every story, the costs go up. It's not like economy of scale that actually decreases with each level. It actually goes up. So therefore, you've got to be in an expensive area where land is already expensive to make it worthwhile. So apparently, there's zoning for much higher buildings in some suburbs that no developers even bother taking up because it's actually not feasible. So I didn't know that because I've never really been in the developer space, but quite fascinating, really, when you look at the numbers. Anyway, we are digressing. You'd want to see, I mean, that's something you would see in a strata report. If that's been a topic in AGMs and they've been discussing this sort of stuff, that you're going to find that out in
absolutely.
The minutes.
Yep, and that has been, we've seen that a number of times, yeah.
Yeah, and in the minutes that you've seen, is that been because they've been approached by a developer, or has it been because somebody's internally tried to activate this as an idea?
Well, somebody who's got expertise has to get involved because they need to put a proposal to the owners, and that's got to have some detail about it for them to understand what's going to happen. So who starts it? It's not necessarily going to be clear for many minutes and stuff, but somebody with expertise is definitely there somewhere.
Yeah.
Have you got property Dumbo for us, Michael?
Property Dumbo. Well, it's sort of it's like a collective property Dumbo, and it's really about these strata owners, I think, that sort of living in this sort of unreal situation where they think they can not pay, that levies should never increase, that they really don't need to spend any money on their building, but they think that the price or the value of their building is going to keep going up. And we do see situations like that where people just, they don't want to know. It's like they've got their head in the sand. Mm. And really that is a bit silly. And over time, it's definitely going to hurt them. So I think that that's worth owners thinking about, is that, you know, you really do need to bite the bullet and think about your building. And it is possible to get buildings back up to shape. And sort of, again, it comes back to this sort of idea of, you know, well, property ratings, building ratings, if you want. You know, does this building stack up, you know, if you're looking to buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
While we're there, Michael, do you think that AI and reading minutes and, like, because if you got a lot of data and you put it through this big machine, right, and they could analyze that data very quickly, they could see what's best practice. Do you see this coming into the strata space and, you know, providing a rating? I mean, it's happening in the development space. I mean, every time I sort of look at this area, you know, it's a new company that's coming out to show you what zoning and you can do and what developments you can do. You had Archie Star a few years ago, and more and more are coming out. What do you think is going to happen in the strata space?
Look, I think AI probably will touch this space. I've had a bit of a look at it, and I think that there are issues with the type of documents that you get, PDFs, which is mostly what they are. I think AI still struggles with that stuff. It has all the documents have to get converted into another format to allow the proper scanning. I think the other thing too that I believe is that if you want to use AI for that type of stuff, it's still pretty expensive. I mean, everybody wants it to write a wedding speech or something. That's a different thing. That's free. But if you actually want to use it for commercial purposes, I think it's still pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to just watch the space on that and see where it trends. But look, if it's everything that people say it can be, then you think it's got to play a part here somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe it's part human, part tech, right? So, you know, the tech can give you highlight all the negative areas, and you can speak to a professional notice space for 20 years and go, actually, that's not an issue because I've seen the building and blah, blah, blah. And the tech says don't go there, but you know it's actually...
Well, I think it's a really good point you make, is that the good strata inspectors, the people that can give really good support to people, is about connecting the dots of the issues that are going on in the building. So you might have two or three separate things happening, but you can connect those together. But, you know, that needs somebody who understands, you know, the records and understands what happens in buildings. So I think that, and that's often a missing element in strata reports, I believe, is actually saying, because of this and this, this could happen. And I don't know how well AI would deal with something like that.
Well, I think, you know, if we see a true digitization of records and sort of away from the PDF style of keeping records, then obviously it's an opportunity there to streamline things. But, yeah, it's the assessment of it or the interpretation of that information that's important.
Yeah.
Michael, it's been an interesting chat. Thank you very much for coming along. And, you know, it's been a long time. Hopefully it's not as long before the next time we talk to you. But we do appreciate you coming and sharing your views, given how many of those strata reports you get to cast your eye over.
That's right. And just to finish up, Veronica, as I've said before, if people have a strata report from not us, somebody else, and they can't get support, get in touch with us. We'll try and help you. And we're happy to do that.
So you're saying that if somebody brings a report...
If a buyer's got a report from somebody else and they can't get somebody to explain to them what's happening or what it all means, then ring us up or send us an email at info@ion.com.au and we will help them on a one-off basis. We won't even charge them. If they want us to look at it, you know, on a number of properties, then we will charge them a flat rate, but a very reasonable flat rate. But they should get in touch and talk to us. We're happy to help. We'd like to see people get proper advice on this stuff.
I think it's a good point that, you know, if you're not able to read the strata report that you've got and not able to decipher what's in it and whether you've got everything in it that you need and whether there's any red flags, then this is an opportunity. I mean, reach out to IOM. All right. Not that we normally do plugs of this podcast, but I do think it is a space where, you know, I know when I was starting in my buyer's agency, you know, I've been going now for 15 years, and I remember thinking, where do I go to learn how to read a strata report?
Yep.
You know, as an expert, you know, I need to skill up on this. Now, I did it the very long, arduous and hard way of reading lots and lots and lots of strata reports and talking to lots and lots and lots of different strata managers. But, you know, for an individual buyer, even trying to get info from or advice from a buyer's agent is difficult because most haven't gone through the process of learning how to read one themselves. So, I think that's a good thing to remind people to do, to ring the person who did the inspection as the first port of call for sure.
Absolutely. Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Chat. Thanks, guys.
If you have a question that you'd like us to answer in an upcoming Q&A episode, you can send us a voicemail or written question via the website, theelephantintheroom.com.au, or you can email us directly at questions@theelephantintheroom.com.au. If you like what you're hearing, please share this episode with others you feel would benefit. And while you're at it, why not leave us an iTunes review? 5 stars would be great. I know that sounds a bit cringy, but we have it on good authority that every review helps make it easier for other people to find out about us and hear what our amazing guests have to say.